Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Rhetorical questions do not expect an answer because the answer is so clear and obvious, or it should be. St. Paul here asks these powerful and comforting questions. If God is for us, who can be against us? God did not spare his own son. Shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? These questions demonstrate that God is righteous and also merciful. God is a righteous and fair judge of the world, condemning all sin and punishing those who do evil. The price of sin had to be paid, but God took that punishment on himself. God did not spare his own son. God is merciful and compassionate, forgiving sinners who repent, who are sorry for their sins, and look to Christ for salvation and forgiveness. Maybe we should look at those questions a little more carefully. Who can be against us? If we take God out of the picture, we should be scared to death. We should be scared to hell itself. Who can be against us then? Everyone and everything, including ourselves. The sinful world is against us. Our sinful flesh is against us. Our conscience is against us. Our conscience reminds us of that sinful thought we had yesterday or last week or when we were 12. Our conscience reminds us that we were disobedient and disrespectful to our parents and superiors as little children or maybe even yesterday. Our conscience is against us, reminding us of every little thing we have done wrong. It is a burden for sinners to carry if we are apart from God. The devil is against us. Satan is sly and cunning. His evil angels are an army sent to attack and tempt Christian believers. There's so many ways the devil uses to convince us that we don't deserve God. And in truth, he's right. We don't deserve God apart from Christ. Our sins set a great wall between us and God. We can't climb over it. We can't dig under it. We can't go around it. We can't get through it. And even if we try to pile up a lot of good works to make up for our sins, they're never enough. Even if we think they're enough, those good works are still tainted by our sinfulness. They are not pure and perfect. Only Jesus did pure and perfect good works that can atone for sin. He did those good works perfectly and without sin. He did them for us. He lived a holy life for us because we cannot. He died an innocent death for us so that we don't have to die an eternal death. God did not spare his own son. Jesus loved God and his neighbor as himself. He perfectly respected his earthly parents. He perfectly helped those around him. He was pure and sinless in everything he did, every word he said, everything that he thought. We can't even imagine, understand such sinlessness. But that sinlessness becomes ours through faith. God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We don't deserve this in any way. We can't earn it in any way. For St. Paul says, God freely gives us all these things. We are unworthy, but God loves us and chooses us anyway through his own dear Son. He laid our sins, our guilt, our misdeeds on Jesus, who took them to the cross and carried them away from us. St. Paul comes to this conclusion. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The answer, of course, is no one. This whole chapter of Romans 8 is a commentary on the words Paul uses to begin this chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to how bold, how complete, how comprehensive that statement of forgiveness is. It is for you. If you are sad or worried or depressed or lonely or afraid, trust in Jesus and look up this passage from Romans chapter 8. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God the Father gave us his Son. Jesus, the Holy Son of God, gave himself to save us from sin. God the Holy Spirit brings that salvation to us through baptism, preaching, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. There God says to us, your sins are washed away. You are forgiven. You are free from your sins. Eat and drink my body and blood for the remission of sins. If God is for us, and he is, no one can be against us. Even if they try to accuse us, they have no case. We can say, I am baptized. I belong to Christ. Jesus has paid my debt. God the judge has declared us not guilty for Jesus' sake. No one can bring a charge against God's elect. And so we can take Paul's rhetorical questions here and turn them into statements that bring us great comfort. This is what we shall say. God is for us, and so no one can be against us. He did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. He shall also with him freely give us all things. No one shall bring a charge against God's elect. It is God who justifies. No one can condemn us in Christ. Christ died, and furthermore is also risen, and is even at the right hand of God, and also makes intercession for us. If God is for us, and he is, no one can be against us. God be praised for his glad tidings of salvation through Jesus our Savior. Amen.